Please be seated and good morning. Great to see you all this morning. Before I forget it, our theme for 2011 is Choosing Heaven in 2011. And we have a new banner in the back of the room. And I invite you, as you leave this morning or at your convenience, there's a pen there. And if that is your choice as well, I invite you to sign the banner in acknowledgement that that is your choice as well to experience heaven in 2011. So I'm glad you're with me this morning. My book for the month has been Wayne Dyer's book, The Power of Intention. And in it, he talks about the fact that I don't have the remote for the television. Where is... Thank you so much. Anyway, yes, exactly. It's a wonderful thing. In the book, and those of you that were here with me last week remember this, but I thought it was worth mentioning again, he quotes Thomas Troward, who said, "The law of flotation was not discovered by contemplating the sinking of things, but by contemplating the floating of things, which floated naturally and then intelligently asking why they did so." If you've been in religious science or New Thought or science of mind or whatever term you use for this teaching a while, and you've read any of Thomas Troward, you know that this is one of the clearer statements that he made, because in many of his writings he was punctuationally challenged. So he had long sentences, and some of them you had to read two or three times, not unlike my friend Emma Curtis Hopkins, who many of my friends have come to know and well. Love. But anyway, I love the concept of this because the law of flotation was not discovered by contemplating the sinking of things. So what are we contemplating? And the purpose of the book, The Power of Intention, and just a really quick review, his take on the word of intention is not so much that it is my intention to do something or be something or have something. Intention is the creative process. Intention is the universe, our higher power, God, spirit, whatever term you use for it, but it is what we are always connected with and what creates for us based on our beliefs and our feelings. So again, the key word here is contemplating, because what do we think about all day? What do we think about? And Sunday morning, we get it and we're good to go. Sunday morning, I get it and I'm good to go. But how about Tuesday afternoon? What about Friday morning? What about Friday night when it's been a long week and you get home and the dog still has to be walked, or you turn on the television and the news is so not what you wanted to hear, or whatever? How are we in staying in that intention to create what it is we do want to experience rather than what we don't? So my topic for this morning, speaking of creating things that or that we don't want or not creating things that we do, is why isn't this working? So I'm glad you're here with me this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Everyone just close their eyes and join together and listen to these words from Lynn Grabhorn. Your life is waiting. We cannot flow negative energy of any kind, in any degree, in any amount, and be happy. And that means anything from mild irritation to normal no feeling to perpetual dread. It is a physiological impossibility to be happy with the kind of energy flowing out, because we are flowing two different vibrations that activate two different external and internal results. So here's the flash. Continue to live life as a victim of circumstances, forever focusing on what's wrong with everything and everybody will never, ever bring the life desired. It will only bring one thing, more of whatever it is we are wanting so desperately to change. So take a deep breath and just allow those words to resonate within you. And in honor of this weekend, in celebration of Martin Luther King's birthday, just from your heart, allow your heart to tell you, what is your dream? And if you have any negative feelings, doubts, uncertainty, just as you breathe out, imagine that falling away, knowing you don't need that anymore. And allow yourself to focus with each breath on what you do dream. And know that you can be divinely guided to achieve that dream. You need only focus on that. And so continue to focus on that dream that will serve you as well as those around you. And as we go into silence, allow that to expand within your heart. So we'll be silent for a moment. And just know that there is one mind, one God, one divine intelligence, and we each are individualized expression of that divine intelligence. Each have gifts to share in this world. And your dream is God's dream. So allow that awareness to fill your heart. Feel the gratitude of expressing your dream in the world. And join me together in saying, and so it is.
I need to stop picking songs that make me cry. So we're talking this morning about why isn't it working? We do our spiritual mind treatment work, our affirmative prayer, and those of you that have been in the teaching for a little while, you remember the steps, the recognition that we are one with the God presence, the recognition that there is only one, that we are one with it, is the unification, the choosing, so whatever it is we're choosing to experience, the acceptance that it's our experience now, and the thanksgiving and release. And when you get to practitioner class, the way that we remember it is RUCAT, recognition, unification, choosing, acceptance, thanksgiving, and release. It's RUCAT. We do that. It's done. It's bundled up. The universe has it. And it's not manifesting. It's not happening. Why isn't this working? The truth is that it is. It always works, but sometimes we look at a situation and say, how come this isn't working for me? It's always working because it's done unto us as we believe. So if there's something not manifesting in our lives, if we're not demonstrating something, if it's not happening for us, the new job, the new relationship, the greater abundance, what the physical healing, whatever it is, it's not that it's not working. It's always working perfectly. It's that we need to change something about our belief in the situation or our feeling about the situation. Edwin Gaines, who I love, and you know that I love her, says, "What must I change about myself in order to receive this?" It's so important for us to stay away from that old belief in the God that's out there somewhere, that responds to us depending on the mood he's in, and if we've been good, and all that other, if you come from traditional Christianity, you know those teachings about that separation, and that with that, if God's in a good mood and he's not on vacation in Bermuda this week, and I haven't used up my credit line for the month, then he'll provide whatever that is. We know that that's not the truth of the universe. The universe, spirit, our higher power, always says yes. So if something's not moving, we're the ones that need to move to change the belief about it so that it can happen for us. If I put, and you've heard me use the example of toast before, but if I put rye bread in the toaster and press the switch, I get rye toast. If I wanted an English muffin, it's not the toaster's fault. It's not the rye bread's fault. It's I put in something other than what I really wanted to experience. So what happens when I get the rye toast out? I say, whoops, that wasn't what I wanted. And then I go back and choose again. Course in Miracles says, I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace. So we always have that opportunity to decide again, to choose again whatever it is we want to experience and put it back in the toaster, if you will, and allow the universe to bring whatever it is we're choosing and make sure that we're keeping up with it as we go along. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. That's why this is called the law of mind, because it always works the same way. It works in our health, it works in our money, it works in our relationships, it works in every single area of our lives the same way. It works in our time. We had a meeting of the San Diego League of Ministers and Practitioners here yesterday, and it was a wonderful experience, and I was talking with people, and I heard in two different conversations about how they didn't have enough time to, and that really resonated for me because I don't remember saying those words, but I certainly remember hearing myself think those words. And you know, the universe is so wonderful because it's totally a mirror. What we say always comes back to us, and so I see the universe with a smile on its face, so there's no judgment here. The universe saying, oh, okay, and if you don't have enough time, you'll be given all the wonderful things in your pathway to make sure you don't have enough time. Many of you remember the sacred story of the debacle with the IKEA bookcase that I experienced here. And for those of you that don't, just very quickly, it was a Friday afternoon and I didn't have enough time and I was really in a hurry and I just so wanted to get this bookcase put in the blue room. And so I made a mad dash through IKEA. And of course, if you set your intention for not having enough time, there's the universe smiling and the people with their cart turned crossways in the aisle. And the people in the parking lot with lots of time. And of course, it's right there by Costco, you know, where IKEA is in Mission Valley. And so say no more, because, you know, so all those things to make sure that I didn't have enough time. So I schlepped it in here and I put it together. And first rule, if you're putting furniture, you build it furniture together, there shouldn't be any screws left over. They don't send extra ones. And if you learn nothing else this morning, know that if you're doing build-it-yourself furniture, use all the parts. Well, gee, isn't this nice? They sent some extra screws. That was really terrific of them. So imagine, if you will, it's done, it's up, it's sitting there, it's gorgeous, it's just a wonderful thing, and now I really don't have enough time, so I've got to go screaming out of here to go to whatever it is. And in slow motion, I watch the bookcase go. Arr! So I was even later to wherever I was going because I had to schlep it down and drop it in the dumpster. That will always be my lesson about making sure that I have enough time because, and so, you know, the universe with its sense of humor wasn't punishing me. It just was saying, okay, you need something to talk about on Sunday morning, we'll make sure that you have something. But also, there's that lesson. What we affirm is so incredibly powerful because the universe always says yes. We think with the mind of God. And if we don't have enough, it says okay and makes sure that we don't have enough. Time or money or health or love or whatever it is in our lives. So the truth is, it always is working. If it's not giving us what we wanted, we need to look at what's going on and reframe it. Edwin Gaines was on my mind this morning for some reason. Are we experiencing prosperity? And what I invite us and even challenge us to do in 2011 is to choose heaven. And we know that heaven is a moment-by-moment experience. It's not a destination on a plane ticket. We choose it on a moment-by-moment basis, and we go from, I don't know about you, but I can go from heaven to hell. It's a really quick trip, and sometimes back and forth. But I encourage us and challenge us to choose heaven in 2011, and heaven to me is absolute prosperity. And these are Edwin Gaines's definitions that really resonate for me. So a vitally alive physical body to provide a comfortable worldly home for the spiritual beings that we are. Because if you don't have good health and are able to go out and do what you want to do, you're not going to be able to do what you came here to do. Relationships that are satisfying, nurturing, honest, and work all the time. If you're in conflict or resentment or bitterness or hostility with anybody, and that can be either your significant other or a family member or a politician or whatever, you're not in heaven if you're having that reaction to somebody on the television. Work that we love so much that it's not work, it's play. If you've ever had a job situation where you come home Friday night and start dreading going to work Monday morning, if you ever had that situation, that is so no way to live, and that's so not heaven. And all the money we can spend. The truth is, when you're in absolute prosperity, you have enough and more than enough in all of those areas. If you got lots of money and wonderful relationships, but your health is failing and you can't get out and do what you want to do, that's not prosperity. If you have wonderful relationships and perfect health, but you don't have enough money, that's not prosperity. This total prosperity is in all of the areas of our lives. In 2011, we don't have to make any changes. We don't need to do a thing. But what I invite you to do is to look at your life and know that if there's an area that's just not clicking for you, if you're not experiencing heaven in your money, if you're not experiencing heaven in your relationships, if you're not experiencing heaven in your time, so yeah, I'll do that. There's that spiritual practice that I love to do that I'll do in about a week and a half when I can calendar that into myself. If you're not experiencing heaven in every single area of your life, there's an opportunity to change that and make heaven your experience. Because we came here to have it all. We came here to be able to do what we came here to do. We didn't come here to pay bills. No. We didn't come here to schlep our way through for 90 or 100 years so that we can go to the sweet by and by. The experience of heaven is in this moment, but it's a choice. We don't have to. but we can. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And we remember that when he said I, he was referring to the Christ consciousness that he was and that we all are. There's nowhere in the Bible that Jesus said, do not try this at home. All of the things he said, greater than these things will you do. So we have the power to do this because we're using the same power. We have the connection with the one mind just as he did. So there's the opportunity for us to choose heaven in 2011. But we gotta make the choice. And one of the ways we do that, so we do our spiritual mind treatment, we do that, and then we go out into the world and see the news and get involved with conversations with people and so on. And what we know is thoughts of blank produce more blank. Sounds like, was that the Match Game? Yes, yes. Gene Rayburn, where are you? Thoughts of blank produce more blank. Thoughts of joy produce more joy. Thoughts of prosperity and gratitude produce more prosperity and more things to be grateful for. Thoughts of those people and fill in the blank produce more of those people and those experiences of those people. If you have a thought, and I'll talk more about this in a few minutes, but if you have a thought of anything related to those people, that's a thought and a belief in separation. So thoughts of, I love the book, Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting, that Lori quoted from this morning. And it's such a great book because it reminds us that we are energy vibrational beings, and our feelings as well as our beliefs are determining our experience. So if you do your treatment work for greater prosperity, and oh boy, here we go, and then see on the news that somebody won the lottery last night and they're either of another nationality or from another country or older than us or younger than us or just whatever, and you drop into resentment and anger and I never win anything and all the rest of that nonsense, you've just thrown water on the fire of creating that desire of greater prosperity. What we can say instead is, that's wonderful. I so bless them because I know that as they have that experience, I will too. It feels so much better than the anger and the resentment. So thoughts of blank produce more blank, and we can fill in whatever it is. And then talk of blank produces more blank. If you know someone that's a member of the Ain't It Awful Club, that, because there's always something to complain about, but there's always something to be grateful for. We always have the choice. We always have the choice. In the book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, Edwene Gaines says that she was given the challenge to not complain about anything. And if you've been in New Thought for a while and you remember your first class, one of your assignments might have been to not say anything unkind, untrue, or unnecessary for 20 minutes. Ideally a week, but can we do 20 minutes? It's amazing if you're consciously aware of what you're saying, how long can we go? Was it Mae West that said, if you don't have anything nice to say about anybody, come and sit by me? But the truth is, we get into that, and we're oftentimes so easily led by people and the news and the world about the Ain't It Awful Club and what's going on and the violence and the economy and just all the rest of that. And what happens is talk of whatever it is produces more of whatever it is. Talk of old relationships that didn't work or just anytime we thought we were wronged. I don't know about you, but I had a situation that I talked about and talked about and talked about and talked about, and then started to go down the road of the story and felt like I just wanted to go brush my teeth to get that out of my mouth. And I stopped talking about it. Because in the first place, even though every time I talked about it, it was to a new audience, ultimately, so nobody said, for God's sake, will you drop the rock? Finally, the still small voice said, are you done with this yet? Sometimes when we feel we were wronged, we just beat that dead horse, if you will. We need to drop the rock. Because what's happening is not only are we drawing more of those kinds of relationships and situations to us, because what you focus on expands and what you talk about produces more of whatever it is, but also it's not good for us. It's not good for our energy. It's not good for our physical bodies. It's just not good for us. So it's not working because we're talking about situations, conditions, experiences in exact opposite of what it is we say we want to experience. Edwin Gaines, in her book, asks the question, who made this mess? And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get into a situation and look at the conditions and say, who made this mess? And the truth is, we were involved in the mess. We gave permission to be in the mess. And it's really good news because since we were involved in making it, we can clean it up. If I'm a total victim and had nothing to do with it, what can I do with it? Whoever made the mess has to clean it up. So if I was involved in making it, then I can clean it up. That just works out so much better. In the book, The Power of Intention, Wayne Dyer says, how can you possibly connect to the power of intention if your thoughts, which are responsible for your intending, focus on all that's gone before, which you abhor? We get stuck sometimes in the past and base the future on what's happened in the past. And someone said, might have been Ernest Holmes, I'm not sure. Someone said that the universe, spirit, our higher power, works on principle, not precedence. So what happened before has nothing to do with what's going to happen today, because it's a new day with new opportunities, and we are in a new place. We are in a new place because we are constantly growing and expanding and learning new things and growing in our spiritual work. So every day is full of new opportunities. As long as we stay out of the if-onlys. In the book, Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting, Lynn Grabhorn talks about if-onlys being the past tense of don't wants. And if you have... they call it buyer's remorse, but there's buyer's remorse, there's eater's remorse, there's lover's remorse, there's anybody's remorse. I just so wish I hadn't of dot, dot, dot. Or I wish that I would have dot, dot, dot. And what that does for us is it keeps us stuck in the past, and it keeps us focused on an experience that we didn't want to have, that we did, or that we really did want to have, that we didn't. It keeps us stuck there. It's like gum on our shoe. We must scrape the gum off our shoe and get out of the past and the resentments and the if-onlys, because you can't go back and do anything with that happened before. There is nothing we can do with it except love it, forgive it, honor the lessons that we learned from it, and if we didn't learn anything from it, say, thank God that's over, and move on. But it keeps us stuck and keeps us from experiencing the good that is here now. It keeps us away from that good. So one of Wayne Dyer's other wonderful books that I love is No more excuses. No, excuses be gone. Thank you. Excuses be gone. And he has a whole long list of them. And because we all probably have something else to do this afternoon, I won't go through all of them. But here's a short list. How come? Because what happens is we do our spiritual mind treatment, and often the still small voice will say, great, then this is what you need to do. Because spirit can only work for us as it works through us. If you're treating for and accepting greater financial abundance, the UPS man may bring you a crate of $100 bills. But more often than not, and if he does, I will look forward to that tithe check, or I would take it in cash. but if he doesn't, chances are you're going to hear from the still small voice, great. Then this is what you could do. Could be completely different from what you'd thought about. I think it's in Edwin's book. She gives the example of this young woman that lost her job, that just loved to travel, and part of the job that she had was a little bit of travel, but also she made enough money so that she could buy first class tickets and go here and there and just had a wonderful time and just loved that. And that job no longer existed. So she knew that there was an opportunity for her to be able to continue that activity without labeling. It didn't have to be another job exactly with that, in that same position, with that same amount of money, and in that those same circumstances. She knew that she loved to travel, and the universe was going to bring that for her. And what happened was, she was talking to a friend who said, you know, I know of somebody that knows of somebody that needs a traveling companion. And so, to make a long story even longer, she got her new position was to be the personal assistant to this elderly lady that had a lot of money, that loved to travel. So this young lady went all over the place with this woman, had an amazingly wonderful time, and then the elderly lady made her transition and left this younger lady sufficient money so that she could continue to travel. So the point is, when we are looking for new employment, it's so important for us to know that spirit is the source of our good, and know that our good is going to continue to come to us and allow spirit to bring whatever way. Because so often the way that it's coming isn't what we would have thought, but it's better than we could have imagined. So it's important for us to recognize what we're choosing to experience without limiting how it's going to come. So the excuses, it'll be difficult, it's going to be risky, it will take a long time, there'll be family drama, I don't deserve it, and you see the rest of them there. The point is, it's not difficult when we allow spirit to do the heavy lifting. Sometimes we do our work, our treatment work, our affirmative prayer, and then help. Okay, it can't happen this way, it can't happen this way. I better do this, and I can't do this, and I don't know about this, and it's probably going to take a long time. There's no degree of difficulty in miracles. And a miracle happens normally and naturally. It's not just the parting of the Red Sea. It's not just the feeding of the 5,000. It's selling a house in this economy. It's finding a job in this economy. Because this economy has no bearing on us unless we allow it to. This economy has no bearing on us unless we allow it to. Because Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And of this world, what that means to me is, this world is the world of effect, the world of conditions, the world of the stock market and all the nonsense. But my kingdom, which means our kingdom, which means the universe, the mind of God, is not of this world. So we just go on. And if the job goes away, there's something even better for us. Always, when we allow it to be, and when we keep our emphasis on the better. and not allow ourselves to get drugged down into the nonsense. It's important to me to give credit where credit's due, and Christian Sorensen, who's the senior minister at Seaside, was with us yesterday, and he shared a story that I love that I want to share with you. There was a young man that wanted to go on a luxury liner someplace, and so he saved and saved, and finally got enough money for the ticket. And he got on board the ship, and he had a little cabin, and he was just having a wonderful time, but he was hungry all the time because he only had money for the ticket. And so he was just eating the packaged cheese and crackers. And he walked by and saw this absolutely gorgeous dining room with people sitting there having dinner. And he said, "Oh, I so wish that I could be in there." And he went on for a couple of days and a couple of more days, and finally there was an older man that was sitting there and noticed him at the window, and he got up and went over and opened the door for him and said, "Come in, come in." And the young man said, "I'd love to, and I'm really hungry, but I don't have any money. I just had enough money for the ticket." And the older man said, "But it's included in the price. It's included in the price. Our abundance, our financial abundance, to do what we came here to do in this society, you've got to have money. We wouldn't have come here with the desire to do whatever it is if there wasn't a way for us to have the money to do it. The health, the relationships, the love, it's all included in the price. It's a moment by moment choice of whether we're going to have cheese and crackers or we're going to have the 10 meals a day like you can have on a luxury liner. It's always a choice. And often we need more than Sunday morning, but I so invite you to be with me regularly on Sunday mornings and then do your spiritual practice during the week. Come to a class, whatever supports you, but it's like being fed, and we need to be reminded on a regular basis of our truth. And the truth is, we can choose heaven in 2011. I want to close with a story. There were monks going through old writings, and they came across this old version of the Bible, looked to be the Bible. And it was older than, I think, was Gutenberg the first one, even older than Gutenberg, even older than anything. And they noticed that they had the scripted writing, and it was absolutely beautiful, and the pages were kind of brittle, and they were going through, and they came to this one page, and they came to this word, and they were stunned because it didn't say celibate, it said celebrate. They missed the R. Thank you. The truth is, that's why we're here. We're here to express and experience all the attributes of God. But if we stay stuck in our stuff, if we stay stuck in what's going on out there becomes what's going on in here. And I so had to catch myself. We're watching the news reports about the violence in Tucson last Saturday. And I started to go down the road of those people and their guns. And Sarah Palin. And just down that road and, .. And the still small voice said, "And what is this accomplishing? You could have peace instead of this." So what we know for them And we know for Planet Earth, and we'll be doing this through the Season for Nonviolence in February and in the recognition of Martin Luther King's birthday, that we can stay above this because what we need to know is everyone is the beloved of God. There's no need to steal from me when you know that you're taken care of. There's no need for violence when you treat yourself better than that. There's no need when we recognize who we are. So we hold them in the light, and everyone that's afraid based on what they've seen on the television, and know the truth for all of us, that we are safe, that we are loved, and that all is well. So with that in mind, let's move into the light. Thank you. And we recognize again in this moment that there is only one, one power, one presence, one intelligence, and that is God. That is the universe, that is spirit, that is our higher power. And we know that we are one with it. We are one with one another and with all of life. That we are the essence, the expression, and the experience of spirit. And we recognize in this moment that this moment is all there is. That the past no longer exists, that the future isn't here yet, and this moment is absolutely jam-packed with possibility. With the possibility for greater good, for the possibility for forgiveness, to once and for all release that which no longer serves us, whether it's a belief, a hurt, a resentment, whatever. We can forgive it. We can forgive ourselves and let it be. And we choose to move forward in this wonderful new year as choosing heaven and choosing to be consciously aware of our oneness, that every moment is fresh and new and full of possibility. And for anyone who's placed a request in our box this morning, we know for them that the universe always says yes, that spirit always responds to our words, whether written or spoken. So we accept the manifestation of whatever it is for them with ease and grace. We give great thanks for the opportunity to come together for this wonderful place we call Joyful Living Church and for this teaching. And together we say, and so it is.